Hello, and thank you for joining us once again for Riding Through the Ages, our evolving journey through the eras of Kamen Rider. I am Eric.
And I'm Eugene.
Today is our 134th episode, where we'll be in Heisei Phase 1, Kamen Rider Kuga, Cooperation, episode 33. Unlike last episode, I said 34. We traveled back in time. It aired on September 17th, 2000. It was written by both Tokichi Inoue and Narisa Arakawa. Mm. And it was directed by Osamu Kaneda. So, like, two writers is like, but they're the two main writers for the show.
Mm.
They've written almost every episode. Narisa Arakawa was, like, the head writer, and Tokichi Inoue is, like, the secondary writer.
Okay.
Of the show. So, I don't think it might make that much difference. Like I said, like, definitely, I binged all these episodes, but I definitely didn't check who the writer was every episode.
Right. Stop and be like, oh my, I have to know.
Like, a lot of my friends who read, like, comics are just like, I really love this run. I'm like, I just read the character. I don't really pay attention to the writers that much.
Well, I mean, it's like,
every once in a while I'll be like, oh, this writer's good. But most of the time I'm just following a comic.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
okay, I think you and I have actually had this conversation before, not about comics, but about like how these days it's like the directors are the movie stars.
Yeah.
And nobody's actually really paying attention to who wrote it. So you'll have a hit and miss, like one movie you watched by this director was really good, and then the next one's really bad, and you're like, it's the same director though, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Totally different writing team, totally different actors.
I think we talked about the fact how there's like very few like stars now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah, it's not stars that's selling movies, it's more like the brand.
And like there's four or five.
Of course.
Most of them are The Rock.
Yeah.
Like, it's The Rock and Kevin Hart. The Rock and Jason Statham.
Right. Yeah, The Rock. He's an example of somebody you'll go and just watch him punch a mountain and that's it. Or punch a chili dog stand.
Or Keanu Reeves. You're like, you might not see every movie with Keanu Reeves in it, but every movie with Keanu Reeves in it, you're like, what is this?
Yeah. You'll pause on it.
Surprisingly, it's like this, like, I won't watch every movie with it, but I'll check every movie that has Leonardo DiCaprio in it. I'm like,
fair enough.
I'm like, what's this one about? I'm not going to watch it, but I'll, you know, it's enough to make me check.
Yeah. But I mean, if we were to, like,
I'm not
going to
check every movie that Bruce Willis is
in. Yeah. But if we were to limit it to people who make you check the movie and watch the movie, then you got, like, The Rock and Tom Hanks.
Enough to be like, what is the synopsis, to make you watch the trailer for the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Without having, like, I won't watch every romantic comedy movie, but if, like, Keanu Reeves is going to be in a romantic comedy, I'm like, I'll check the trailer out.
Yeah, see what it's like. Fair enough.
If The Rock was me, I'm watching that.
Yeah, but, but yeah, so it's same. So with comics too, I feel like, honestly, I really should be paying attention to who's writing
it. I should be now.
I should be. So that way I know they're not going to butcher my favorite superhero.
Because my favorite era is like before I was even born, like mostly in the 70s, 80s of comics. And the thing is there is like the same person a lot of times would write the comic forever.
Yeah.
Other than like, it's really hard to tell like who's the longest run because there's all sorts of different ones. Like how long, like do you count the guy who wrote all the Garfield and the Peanuts and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
But like for like a superhero comic, like Stan Lee wrote the first I think like 170 issues of the Fantastic Four or something like ridiculous.
Oh wow,
like that. But then like I think Golgadella 13 is it Golgadella or Golgadella?
Golga?
Golga 13.
Are we talking about the assassin?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's...
From manga. At first I was like, wait, are we...
Yeah, in the manga, it's... well, the guy who wrote it, he just passed away.
Aw.
But he... I mean, he was really old. It's got...
He's old.
It's like the second most volumes.
Behind Hajime no Ippo, right?
No. Kachikame.
Oh. Of course.
Kachikame... was 200. It ended on 200 volumes. Hajime no Ippo is like 150 and six, something. But that story's still going on, so it might overtake it. But now, Kachikame ended at 200. It had 200 volumes of the manga. And then Golgadella, like a year later, got to 201.
Okay.
No, got to 200 also.
Okay.
So Kachikame released an extra volume.
Just because.
Yeah. It's like...
Jeez.
But yeah, he passed away, the guy who was writing it, but he was really old, and he had it set up so that it's still going to go, and with like his blessing and everything, like that, it was all set up so that it still keeps going. It's like a very episodic thing, because it's about like an assassin, and everything's different and all that stuff.
Of course.
But yeah, so I'm saying that like in American comics, like in the 70s and 80s, it was like the same writer for like long sections of time.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like you're lucky if you get the same writer for 13 issues.
Yeah.
So it's like they write one story and they're done. So every once in a while, there's a bit longer thing, like Bendis had a huge run and all that stuff. But anyways, which is completely different from a Kamen Rider, where it's like got one guy is in charge of everything pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll have people who are under him who will write the other episodes. And
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
So, but he also has to answer to toy companies.
Oh, of course. Yeah, he's got people he answers to. They have people they answer to. And yeah. Somebody's making all the money.
Yeah. All of my money. But, so, yeah, it's the third part of Bada.
Mm-hmm. And the last episode, it ended on him hijacking Kuga's bike.
Yes.
He's on his bike.
The Tri-Chaser.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. My hypothesis is that he's going to ride off and start killing people with his bike as sort of a FU while still doing his game. And I'm wondering if Kuga is even able to use his bike. Like, I'm wondering if it's...
So, yeah, it's like, yeah, because it's like...
Because there's nothing stopping Bada from using Kuga's bike, but I wonder if there's anything stopping Kuga from using Bada's bike, and at which point he would need the police to give him that next bike.
Yeah.
So we have a story reason to have it.
Well, the story reason is that he needs the next bike because his old bike can't handle him anymore. Uh-huh.
And then alternatively, he could also just get off of Kuga's bike after trying to ram him and then just ride away on his own bike.
Break the bike.
He could break the bike. That would also work. Yeah. I feel like there's got to be something to stop him from using his bike. Otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
What happens to the old bike once you get the new bike?
Ichigo just give it away? Snipes him.
Huh?
Ichigo just snipes him. I said Ichigo, but I meant Ichijo.
Oh, okay.
Ichijo just snipes him.
Yeah. Could always work.
Because they got the bullets.
So, also, just I'm interested in this. I don't know if you're interested in this. Just a reminder that Bada's game started around 8:30. Okay. It's around 12:30 now. And he's killed no less than 47 people, probably more than that. And he has to get to what, 99?
I think it was
something like that, 90-something. And I will find out by the time we get back, because I have it written in my notes somewhere.
Yeah, it was like 99 or something like that.
And the rules are he has to take them from their steel horses. Yeah, he has to kill 99 in 7 hours. So it's been 4 hours. He has 3 hours left.
And like he'd be way more advanced if he wasn't just chasing a cougar around all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The point is, it's no sweat. Like, it's he's going to get there if Kuga's not stopping him.
So, most likely going to be some more bike fighting.
Of course. Yeah. Definitely, it could be, you know, it could be more interesting, but then he'd probably get taken out just like his bro.
Yeah, if it was just a fighting thing.
Yeah.
He's on his it's like, this is his zone. His, like, area of expertise is riding the bike. And so, Kuga's got to cheat. and it's like the funny thing is, it's like you think of it as cheating because they're 1-on-1 fighting, but it's like he's killing people. So, you know, it's like,
I mean, there's no such thing as a fair fight in this case. I mean, even really, if we're talking about it, the only fair fights are fights with incorrect stakes. Like, if there's no, how do I explain this? If you don't actually have a stake in the fight, you can have a fair fight.
Yeah.
So, like, if the only stake is like money. Yeah, but
well, that's like the thing is, people are like, "Oh, this isn't fair," and I'm like, "You don't want fair."
Yeah,
if any sports game was actually fair, it would end in a tie,
pretty much,
because it would be like, "Oh well,
yeah,
they are equally strong."
But
you're,
yeah,
that's what the thing is you're not, the fight isn't about fair. The fight is to find out who is better.
Yeah, yeah. No, but even if we weren't talking about fair as far as like equal powers, I mean fair as like we've agreed on a
even
rule
playing
set.
Field,
yeah, we've agreed that these are the rules that we're going to follow, right?
Yeah.
That works when somebody's trying to earn something. So you can do that in a competition for money. But let's say one person, if they lose, they lose their house, their car, their family. Like, suddenly now, it's not about earning money, it's about losing money, and that person is not going to be fighting fair. They're not going to sweep the leg.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, it's like, this is a death game.
Yeah. So the point is
there fair in death
fair
game?
Fair doesn't matter.
Fair is not a death game. Death game just is like, here's the rules. Do everything you possibly can without breaking them.
Yeah. Yeah. Kuga should be using every resource that he has.
Yeah.
Without, like, there should be, at no point should he pull a Goku and be like, okay, give him time to stand up. Here's a Senzu bean.
Yes. So it's like, yeah. Because this is like, he's not about, like, he's not. Kuga's not playing the game. Kuga's just trying to save lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
So I'm not worried about that. It's just the, it's nice seeing Kuga losing in somebody else's playing field. So,
yeah.
Like, I know it's going to change. Like, he's going to be able to beat him in the guy's bike by getting the better bike.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine. It's just nice, because usually what happens is, I need to beat this guy, so I just punch harder.
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of the Japanese superhero
What's
power
nice
structure.
About, like, Kamen Rider is, like, I got to beat this guy, so I need the new toy.
Yeah.
So it's like, at least there's a reasoning, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. It's like, sometimes it's more built into the journey. Sometimes it's just equipping a different piece of armor.
Yeah.
It works both ways.
Yeah. So it's like, at least you were like, okay, yeah, makes sense now. Uh-huh. Instead of just like, I'm going to believe it more.
Yeah.
I mean, there is that sometimes, but it's mostly like, I mean, especially actually for the thing is like the way Kuga is now, because they kind of established it, like he gets stronger just because if he wills it.
Yeah.
So it's like his fighting spirit's the only thing keeping them from getting any stronger.
Yeah, pretty much. But
so if anybody dies, it's Kuga's fault.
For sure.
Yeah, because you didn't blow up the world with a kick.
Yeah. So come on, man. If you'd killed everybody, then they couldn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
Save exactly. them all. But no. So in this case, it's not that, you know, it's not necessarily that he's going to be cheating by getting help with a different bike. Yeah. Because if really he could get off the bike and then fight him, you know, fair and square.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, fist fight in the sand. Let's do this. But he's not going to do that. He's going to keep riding his bike and killing people and beating Kuga's butt.
Yeah.
Although in this case, like I said, the very last fight, he started to learn some new bike attacks. Like he's starting to use some bike technique to fight Bada back. So he's getting better. He just needs, you know, a mightier steed, if you will. And I just wonder how he's going to get said mighty steed. Like, is it going to be, is Ichijo finally going to convince them, or is he going to break the law?
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm really interested in. How
far is Ichijo willing to, how much is, like, not, like, in one way, you'd be like, he's going to compromise his ideals, but no, it's like, which one of his ideals is the stronger?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what's, like, how, his loyalty to the force versus his duty to protect the people.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously, one is morally superior than the other.
Yeah,
but it is a but fraternity, then it's also like, so to speak.
You have to think about it also, because like if he's just like, well, I have to steal the bike or anything like that. But then if he like, then I'll be fired from a cop, and then I'll never be able to help anybody ever again.
It's 100%. Like you'll be able to do the most that you can right now, but you'll never be able to do anything ever again.
Yeah,
it's like do you want to expend it all right now?
I mean, unless they find the loophole or something like that. But yeah,
because you also play a bunch of tabletop RPGs, right?
Yeah.
So there was this one like a kind of a homebrew rule that you can apply to pretty much any game, which is at any point, at any critical moment, you can succeed at whatever you're doing, but you agree that your character dies here.
Yeah.
And we'll work together and make a story reason why it works. So, like, if this is the one thing, we'll let it happen, but your character is going to die somehow.
Yeah,
like,
that's the main rule of Dread.
Oh, well, Dread is, yeah, Dread kind of took that and put it on a sort of a...
The Jenga Tower, yeah.
Yeah, the Jenga Tower.
If there's no way for you to draw a block, you can willingly just knock over, the tower, and then you die, but you get to decide how you die.
Yeah, yeah, so there's that.
And because Dread is designed to play like a horror movie,
uh-huh.
And so that's where the guy lights the propane tank
exactly
for it thing to come in or whatever like that, you know.
Yeah, it buys us some people some time.
Yeah,
because obviously it's not going to work, but well, sometimes it does. But you know,
if but you're buying time, yeah,
yeah. So that would be this would be that moment in Ichijo's, like, as far your character doesn't die, but his character
changes.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're no longer a cop now.
Yeah,
you're a private detective.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's going to go that far. I feel like it's going to be more, I don't know. This is it. He has people that can do that for him too. Yeah. Like Inokita could do this right now. Like it could be Inokita that's like,
I don't know where the bike went. You know?
I have no idea where it is. And you know, Kuga just happens to be riding it. Cause it doesn't always have to be Ichijo.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Kuga.
Oh, in like the last episode, they got the others to be like part.
Yeah, like Sugita's out there right now.
You got the new guy.
Yeah, new guy's a part of the team now. He's part of the central group.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what his actual motives are. I just feel like there's something there. I don't know if it's bad, but it's...
It's 30 episodes in. We need a new character.
Yeah, that's just it, too. It's just like, episode 31 or whatever when you came in.
Yeah.
It's a bit late.
He's the final form.
Although the thing is too that it's kind of hard to take what you know about like plot structure, especially what I've seen of Kamen Rider, and like when it's supposed to end. I know what episode it ends on, but that I don't know if that necessarily means they never intended to do more with Kuga.
Yes,
like because if this is the revival, right? They could be like, let's do 100 episodes. You know, we're just gonna do this set and see how it goes, and then whether or not we do a new set. You know, I don't know what the execs are thinking, so I can't say for sure. This character's introduced in 31; he must be a bad guy.
Yeah. Definitely, because Kuga has a different story structure than a lot of the other shows, especially because there's no secondary writer.
Yeah.
So,
and that changes a lot. I mean, that's like fundamental these days, And I know almost nothing as far as like, it's a drop in the bucket as far as Kamen Rider goes. And I think
there's only like two where there isn't.
Yeah.
Like there was two writers in the first series.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's always been there. Just had to know where to look.
It's if there hasn't been a secondary writer, there's been like a secondary character who can fill that role, like writer man or tackle. But for like, it's almost every show. That's what made this like really different. It's like almost every show there's like, I mean, they weren't planning on having two until he broke his leg.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It was unintentional.
But speaking of Hongo, but Fujioka. But yeah, so this makes it different here. And like I said, that like the very next one, Agito has three. And they're like, they're all in it from the start. Like all of the characters are in it from the start.
Okay, yeah, there might not all be writers right
off. Yeah, but it follows all three of their stories. And it's like, but the thing is like, yeah, so it's a very different show without another writer. I mean, Ichijo fills the role as good as he can of being a secondary writer. He fills most of those like spots, most of those story beats. Ichijo is filling most of those story beats. Like you could imagine, you could easily adapt it so that Ichijo is a writer for an organization. And then Kuga's the wild one who like sometimes works with them and stuff like
right.
But they didn't want that. They just wanted a one writer.
Yeah.
To get that focus back on, like how it was at the start with just Hongo.
Right.
So yeah, that definitely changes the story beats of it.
Yeah.
And also they have an established mid-season versus final form and like that stuff. They have mid-seasons here, but like they were kind of just augmented versions. The rising forms.
Right, because side grades.
Yeah. Because
technically they all have a weakness. It's just not, it's not really being exploited.
They all have the same weakness as the base forms, just bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, you'll see.
Like with Titan, it seems slow, but there's no reason why he can't run.
Yeah.
At least we haven't seen a reason. They haven't explicitly said, yeah, you're stuck with the walking. You're slow walking, man.
They like these first couple of Heisei phase one, like are really different from each other also.
Oh, as in the writers,
the whole story and everything like
okay,
that.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, one of the reasons people really like this era.
Is the variety.
Yeah, of, like, how they are and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It isn't until, like, around, after Hibiki, really. And I think after Hibiki was Denno, where it's just, like, their formula started to happen.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because they have to work their way into the formula. We're watching Double, and it's an amazing story.
It is.
But you're like, it's a formula, but it's still an amazing story. I mean, you don't have to have, like I said before, like, sometimes, you know, all the ingredients for a pizza are known, but you can still make good pizzas and bad pizzas.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a case to be made that the toyetic nature ruins the show, but then the argument to that is also like, maybe the show wouldn't have been as good if it didn't have a certain set of rules that it had to follow.
Yeah.
You know, a certain set of things keeping it in a box, kind of.
Yeah, like we're talking about, like going back to American comics, sometimes they have no rules and it's crap because it's so crazy.
Yeah, they're just going out of nowhere with it.
It's like free form writing and nobody's stopping them.
Yeah.
Because they're famous.
Exactly.
You know? So it's like,
so it's, you know, it's fun to dwell sometimes. It's fun to think, oh, what would have happened here if they didn't have to sell a toy in this bit. I do that more often than you do. That's more my thing.
Yeah.
So I think I feel like I connect more with those people that probably like Heisei Phase 1.
Yeah.
I at least I understand that side of it a lot better.
Yeah. In my mind, I'm like, if they didn't have a toy to sell, there would be no show.
But then, yeah, at the same time, I understand the opposite too. So at least I'm starting to understand it more.
Yeah.
Not fully there. I'm still going to be hung up on toys every now and then. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, and it gets bad sometimes.
Yeah.
It does get bad. Like, the shows you have seen, like in current comics and stuff, there's worse ones.
Yeah.
There's worse ones than Saber.
Yeah.
And like,
man, that's hard to think of, but I can
see
it.
But it's just like, really?
Yeah. I can, like, see it. I'll try my best not to be.
That was one of the problems with Ghost. It was just like, let's steal this toy. And it's just like the icon. And it's just like, you're just doing Edison because you need an icon.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
It's like, we're going to have. And it's like, it's really hard to have a new form for Ghost all the time. So it's like when they bring on the other characters and you're just like, the other writers, and you're like, this is just a new place to put the forms on.
Yeah. Different vessel.
Yes. I mean, I always say it. There's still good things about Ghost. And I might hate it more or find it more interesting by the time we get to it. But anyways. But yeah, there's more toyetic, especially times along the way. That is just like, really? You know, it's just like,
Well, I mean, that's why it's good that we're gonna be forced to find the good in the episode.
Yeah, that's one of the points. It's like you have to think of a good and a bad in the episode. Yeah. And like another thing about the rotation is like when we're on bad shows, we'll have good shows probably.
Something watching, to look forward to.
Yeah, when we're watching it. Like,
Thank God for that.
When we're in Ghost, I don't know what we'll be in. It's something.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Just hear me out. Can you imagine on our current common series, that whole slog in the middle there where they're just kind of brushing through it? If we had to do that back to back to back to back. Oh.
Yeah, if we had nothing else.
Like, you know how much I would be bitching?
Yeah.
Like, with no break in between?
Yeah.
No week to wait?
Yes. Okay. So, we're going to go see about the cooperation.
Yeah, who's cooperating?
And we will be back.
Pinson!
Okay, and we're back. There's some bike fighting.
A little bit.
Not as much as you thought there.
Definitely not as much in the episode.
Yeah.
Much more interesting than I thought. They saved that all for the last episode. So.
The last part of the episode, yeah.
So no, I meant like the majority of the bike fighting was in the
previous
last
episode. Yes.
And also at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
The last bit.
I thought you meant last bit, but last episode too, yeah. So it starts off right where it left off. No recap, no nothing. Just starts off.
Yeah, he's charging him. Cougar dodges.
Yep.
Pretty much it. And then he turns around to charge him again.
And the bike breaks.
Yeah, the bike just breaks. Yeah. I honestly, I don't know why I didn't think that was going to be a thing. Maybe he weighs too much. I'm not quite sure. Like, he's too powerful for the bike. Is that what it is?
Yeah, because it's the same reason that Cougar has to rein it in when he's using it. So it's like, my idea is like when he pulls the bike up, he's breaking it.
Oh, you think he like ripped the handle off or something
like
that?
No, it's like because of where it broke. I mean, it's still on the show and everything, but it's like where the front wheel attaches to the back wheel, attaches to the rest of the bike. So it's like pulling it up to do the whole thing, like it cracked it. But there's a whole thing about the bike is not powerful enough to handle them.
I suppose.
And just how they use it.
Yeah. Well, I guess that just comes down to, you know, hey, your bike's not actually a mace or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're not using them how you're supposed to use bikes in general.
Take you down with the power of my wheelie.
Yeah. So there could be a whole thing about, like, he's been weakening it by using Gold Ram and all that stuff. You
yeah,
know?
I could just have been on its last leg. Like, this would have happened. He would have been riding home and, like, yeah. Faceplant.
So he throws it down.
Goes and gets on his bike.
He changes back into his human form and he says, "You're going to be the last one I kill."
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense because he's all about revenge right now because Godai killed his brother.
Yeah.
And
he just rides off.
Yeah, rides off.
So Godai dehensions and gets down on his bike and he's like touching where it's smoking and stuff. And he, you know, it's like, ah, what are we going to do now? He doesn't say that, but you can tell that's what he's feeling. And it goes to the opening.
Yeah.
So when it comes back, Sugita's calling Ichijo.
Yeah. So he's just like, okay, well, number 47 or what? I don't remember what he is.
41.
41.
41.
ULF 41 got away. And, there's a problem. And so it's like, is Godai there? And he's like, yeah, puts Godai on the phone. And Godai tells him, it's like,
bike's wrecked.
Bike's wrecked.
Yeah. So I think Sugita mentions that they're waiting on.
Well, he says that Sugita called the places to come get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The institute.
That's what it was. Yeah. They're coming to collect the tri chaser.
And he's just like, okay. And he's just like, maybe I can use Goram to do something.
Yeah. Basically, it's like, well, we're SOL, but we'll make do. And he's like wondering if
well,
he can use
it's like, because Ichijo is like, well, I'm sorry, you can't have the beat chaser.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well, you know.
Yeah. Goaty's like, I don't blame you guys. You know?
No reason crying over spilt blood. Let's just see what we can do.
Yeah.
You know? And so they'd be like, okay.
Yeah. So I do like they immediately start off with Goram.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was, suck from last time. I was like, where the heck?
Yeah.
Is Goram.
He's like, you just like Goram, it. He's like, Goram can't merge with the bike.
No, he does explain it too. Like,
later on, he's just like.
It was all thought out.
Yeah.
And it all makes sense.
Yeah. So. Then it's
12:53. It's at police headquarters.
Yes,
and the chief is direct, or he's addressing the board.
Yeah,
of I don't know, whatever. Just higher ups.
They're his bosses.
Yeah,
so they're like probably like he's a chief. They're probably commissioners. The commissionary board probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and he's like, Okay, so look, I passed on the information.
He's speaking to the old Japanese guys.
Right.
He's the old guy speaking to the older guys.
He's saying, I passed on the information to the whole department that they are not to work with ULF4 in dealing with this situation.
And they're all like,
however, and kind of just leaves it this sort of dot, dot, dot. We don't know what it is he's saying. At first, I was thinking he was saying, but they're doing it anyway. Sorry. Like, no, I can't control these people.
Like, what I thought it was going to be, it was because the next thing was a guy running from Bada. Yeah. And so I thought he was going to override. It was like, your decision is killing people.
Yeah, people are dying left and right, willy-nilly. Yeah, so you see this guy. He, you know, he gets knocked down. He goes and runs and hides. It's like a horror movie. He's in a dark shed, sweating.
He's like,
scared to death.
And then you hear that.
And you don't actually see him again because you just see...
he just drives through that.
Yeah, Bada just like revving it up, drives right through.
Yeah, because they're not going to just have smears of blood coming off of the motorcycle.
And he says, two to go.
Yeah, because the scorekeeper comes, knocks off a little thing. And he's like, two to go. And so
now, at first, I wasn't sure if he meant 96 is and two more to go, and then Kuga, or 97, two total, Kuga included. So it turns out it's two total, Kuga included. So that's some crazy numbers. Like I said, it was 7 minutes till 1 o'clock. So he did all of that in 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
4.5 hours with that ridiculous specific.
Yes, that very specific thing. So him saying that he could do it in time, and he wasn't joking. And this is him like fighting Kuga 5 times during this whole thing.
Seriously.
You know.
So it's 1:12. It's Inukita back at the research thing. The cops are watching her.
And she is stalling.
Yeah, she's like, oh, where's that dang thing? Where is that?
Oh, look at that. It's here. Oh, no, it couldn't be here. I'm so absent-minded.
So obviously they get annoyed. They're like, come on, where is it? It's not pulling the back. You know, I think they threaten...
to like call the spirits or something. She's like, here it is.
Oh, and here it is.
It's the suitcase, and they open it up, and it's the
handlebar key.
The ignition device.
And they're like, so this is it? And she's like, yep. And he closes it up. They start to walk off, and she's like, but that's not all you're going to need to start the bike. And they're like, what do you mean? And she says that you need a code. And they're like, well, what's the code? And it's like, well,
it's his birthday. And they're like, who's? Number fours.
The only one that knows that is, and Ichijo's walking through the door, and it's like, he's the only one that knows.
He knows the code. And Ichijo's like, okay, so.
I need to talk to you. Yeah. At this point, he's trying to make an appeal.
And then it cuts. And then it goes to them doing their whole plan.
No. It's 11 minutes later, and I believe it's Sugita and
It's Sugita and Godai, and he's telling the plan.
Yeah, he's talking about how he's trying to figure out what he's gonna do. He's talking about how he could use Gorom
to hover like he did on the chameleon.
Yeah, it's just that it moves slower when he's riding it. So he's like, so I could maybe switch to green and shoot him, but if I miss, it'll be bad. And also, if I stay as green too long, I'll have to wait 2 hours to recover afterwards. So he'll have to switch from green to something else immediately, and maybe it'll work.
Yeah.
And
well, he doesn't say that, but that's what he has to do later. But yeah, he's just saying that, like, if he stays too long green.
No. He specifies that if he waits 2 hours, he's straight up telling Sugita.
Yeah, he says that, but he doesn't talk about switching. He does switch later, but he doesn't like, later he says that, like, oh, because I switched.
And then he's like, Sugita's like, it sounds really complicated.
And he's just like, he says, is this where he says something about like his daughter?
No, he's a gunna, but they you can tell he's wanting to say something, but
because there's like 4 scenes in the car with Sugita and Godai.
Right. Because what happens is they get a call from I think it's Hiromi, right?
Yeah.
Over the thing talking about how there's the 97th victim, you know, just happened.
Yeah.
There's 97 dead total, and they're both like, you know,
we expect him to be in this area.
Jeez. Yeah. So she's leading. Sakurai is the new guy. So leading the new guy's team to assemble at this location. And you see them all piling out, getting barricades set up, doing the stuff. And him, I guess he's in charge of this team because he's telling them, okay, we're going to wait until we get the ammo, you know, line up here.
Yeah.
Getting everything coordinated.
And then we see how they know that he's going to be here because they have police bait.
Yeah, because so this guy is being chased, and he's calling over the radio. He's like, look, he's in pursuit. He's gaining fast. He's already passed all 4 of my police escort cars, but I'm almost there. And they're like, you got to hold on tight, man. You're going to make it.
So they see it in the...
He's basically just down the street at this point, and you can see the difference in speed. It's like...
Yeah.
He's at least... I want to say maybe 2 or 3 times as fast, and I doubt he's going full throttle.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's catching up on the guy. You don't actually see him get ran down. You just hear the car wreck and everyone being like, no.
Yeah.
But so at, right after that, it goes to back to the headquarters, and we see that what the chief is doing is actually kind of like pleading for reason.
Yeah.
Almost. He's like, you know, we need to work with ULF-4. It's not just... I'm sure he's like, he's laying out the statistics. You know?
It's just like,
you don't come into something like this prepared.
Yeah, he's just like, basically, he's like, you guys are being stupid.
Yeah.
You know, we need him to, like, we need to be working with him instead of basically distancing ourselves from our only way of fighting back.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's inconvenient to be seen with him or anything like that.
Yeah. It's like, it's really one of those things where the paperwork isn't really important here.
Yeah.
This person has killed 97 people in less than 5 hours.
And many of them police, you know?
Yeah.
No. So then it goes back to the scene, the barricade scene.
Yeah, so it's 1:47, Sugita and Godai arrive.
Sugita and Godai arrive, and there's an ambulance pulling off, and it's now 98, so that cop didn't make it.
He didn't make it. It's 98. So Sakurai is
That's why Sakurai comes up, he's like, I'm sorry,
I failed. We almost had him, but... So they, you know, they have their little... A lot of the time, if we're skipping stuff over, it's because it's stuff we already know that they're just saying in the scene.
Yeah.
Because their characters haven't interacted in that way yet. But... Godai sees there's an extra free bike.
Yeah.
I don't. This could be the one that the guy was riding.
Well, it could be
another one entirely. It could be like somebody else meeting up in that location.
Yeah, because there was a bunch of cops there. Because it's like, the cops now ride tri-chasers.
Yeah. So there's a spare tri-chaser there.
Yeah. And you can tell it's also a cop car, cop one, because they have like extra things on it that Godai's didn't. He's like, can I take that one? They're like, yeah.
Yeah, because he had the prototype, so they wouldn't have slapped the stickers
and this is when Sugita, he like opens up his coat and he hands Godai his massive gun.
Dude, it's huge. It's a python.
These are the ones that they use now because of the special bullets thing. Mm-hmm. So he hands it to him and he's like, because he's going to go green. So it's like cool because it's like people stepping up for Ichijo while Ichijo's not around, because that was the whole thing. It's like Ichijo has to hold the gun because Godai, as a civilian, couldn't hold one. So he's like, thank you. He puts it in the back, you know, where you shouldn't put a gun. And, it could be worse. You could have put it in the front.
Crazy?
Yeah.
So, and he rides off, and Sakurai looks at Sugita and he's like, was that?
And he's like, yes. That was the myth. The legend.
ULF-4. So he's on the bike. He henshins, you know. Very quickly, he catches up to Bada. Bada sees him over his shoulder, so he transforms. And so now it's a bike chase.
Yeah.
Good old bike chase.
And then it goes for a little bit, but then Goram shows up.
Yeah, Goram shows up. He jumps off the bike. Screw it.
Goram comes over and he grabs Goram and slowly rises up.
I feel like he could have made that shot anyway. I don't quite
understand. Well, this way he doesn't have to worry about driving.
I guess. That's fair.
And he also has like a higher angle, you know. So he turns green, and he's gold green, and he aims at Bada, and he shoots, and Bada weaves.
Yeah.
And, like, keeps missing, so it's like...
So it was what Godai was afraid of. This is the reason why he didn't go with this plan A. This is plan B.
Yeah.
Because he didn't think it was going to work, but you never know. You got to take a shot, right?
Yeah. And Bada just, like, zooms off.
Yeah, because now he doesn't have the speed to keep up with it. Like he said, Goram's slow whenever he's riding it. Yep. It's not about...
I also think that, like, at this point, Godai isn't on a motorcycle, so he can't fulfill the conditions.
Oh, yeah. Bada can't kill him because he's off the motorcycle.
Yeah, so he's like...
Godai doesn't know that
Godai doesn't know that, but that's the reason why Bada leaves, because Bada has one more kill, and he said he was going to be the last one. He's right there, but no, that would be like what somebody would say if they're like not really paying attention, but it's like, no, he's not on the motorcycle now, so he can't...
Yeah, that's the reason why Bada's leaving.
Yeah. So Godai drops down, and he changes back to red.
Yeah.
And then it moves on to...
Yeah, you just see it's like him just staring off, and then it goes to the police, I want to say the police science thing. It's 1:59, and you can tell Ichijo just finished talking. The guy's looking at him straight face, and he's like, is that all?
Is that all you have to say? And you're like, oh. And then the guy walks over,
He puts the case down, and he says, I'm a police officer too, you know, and I want to do what's best for the police force. So this whole thing, you're thinking... he's got to go with what he knows. He's stuck with the red tape. It's like, you understand it, but you're not happy about it. And he walks off. And then, no, actually, really cool. He left the case there.
He left the case there because it's like, Ichijo convinced him.
Yeah.
And it's great that they don't show it so that you just have, you fill it in your head.
Yeah, you can make up whatever you want about
and
how
then,
it works.
But then Ichijo, Inokita comes up. She's like, oh, that was good. That was pretty good what you just did there.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you don't need to be. Like, I feel like this is better. I like this better than actually hearing the whole
speech. I've said it several times on here about the difference between, like, like C.S. Lewis and Tolkien's like writing style, where Tolkien was just like, he'd give you very detailed about like how every food and like how every spice came from and the etymology behind every word from it. And then C.S. Lewis is just like, and there was a banquet with all the foods you think would be at a banquet.
Yeah, all the food was there.
That's why C.S. Lewis' books are 200 pages and Tolkien's book are 900.
Yeah, seriously. Padding.
Yeah. In funny thing, in Japan, The Lord of the Rings is 9 books.
I can see it.
Because most books are sold as a certain size. So they can fit in book covers and they can be easily transported. And so each of the 3 Lord of the Rings books is actually broken into 3 other books.
Okay.
So it's like Fellowship of the Ring Part 1, Fellowship of the Ring Part 2, Fellowship of the Ring Part 3, and then so it's like
yeah,
it's,
2 Towers 1, 2, 3,
yeah.
Return of the King 1, 2, 3.
So it's 9 books because they also have like book vending machines.
Okay. Yeah.
Where it's like the top 10 books selling or something like that, and you can get a book on the platform before you go. But then they also have like book covers, so you can have a book cover on the train so nobody knows what to read.
Fair enough, so that way no conversations are started.
Yeah.
To be discreet.
Also, it just protects the cover.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Also,
But no, that makes me think, I'm like, I think I would probably have rather liked The Lord of the Rings better if it was 9 books.
Oh, so that way you can put it down and be like, that was good. I wonder what's going to happen here.
Yeah, and I'm like, I can read a book in between them. But if I'm reading The Fellowship of the Ring, I feel like I should finish Fellowship of the Ring before I start another book.
Uh-huh.
But if you finish part 1 of Fellowship of the Ring, you can read another book, come back to part 2 of Fellowship of the Ring. Be much easier.
Right.
But anyways.
So you take cases, I got to go.
Yeah, goes.
Heads out. It goes to Rose.
Yeah.
So she's in the grungy, I don't know where. It's just a blue-lit black
space.
Room.
It's like they have their own pocket dimension.
Yeah, they might as well be in a pocket dimension.
Yeah. Because, like, the rules of, like, you know, it's like when they're meeting in public, it's like they don't exist. Like, they're on, like, the shadow realm or something like that. You've seen it in movies and stuff where, like, people are just outside of reality a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't interact with reality and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, right, right.
It's like, what was the most recent one I'm trying to think of? Oh, like the mirror dimension.
Yeah.
In like Doctor Strange. It's just like, it's kind of reality, but it's a little bit off.
A little bit off, yeah. And honestly, that would make sense, too, if that's actually what's happening at this point, because they've been caught in the real world before.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember that whole thing with E.G. Joe? So they might just be like, yeah, let's just use our alternate dimension. We've had this whole time. We just didn't think we needed it.
No, it's just they're in a black void.
And there's 4 other Grungy there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking at this point now, these are the people who have already passed the semifinals. Because I feel like if this is the last one, then that means all of these have already done it off screen. We didn't see what they did to get here.
Or they were there already.
Yeah. Like they were always already at this point.
Like before they got resurrected, they were at
yeah,
this
Yeah, maybe the game was going on then and then, you know. And that either way, that makes sense. I'm fine with it either way.
Yeah.
Like at this point in time, I don't expect them to compete to earn their place in the semifinals or into the finals.
Yeah.
Because this is the semifinals?
This is the semifinals.
Okay, so they're earning their place into the finals.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Bada walks up in between all of them.
And he's just like, I got one more to go, and then I've secured my place in the finals.
I'm going to kill Kuga.
I'm going to kill Kuga. Well, she's like, don't count your chickens before they're hatched type of thing. It's like,
you got to kill one more. It's like, dude, he's got 2 hours.
And he's like, my last one is going to be Kuga, and then I'll be in the finals, and then it's you.
Yeah, then it's you, and then he flips the coin as he's walking off.
Yeah.
What a badass.
Yeah.
I wonder why he wants to kill Rose. Like,
I don't know. Maybe he blames it for the death of her. Because remember, I've never seen it with the grungy subtitles.
Right.
So I didn't know.
You don't actually know what the backstory is.
Yeah, I never knew he threatened to kill her at this point.
Yeah.
So it's like.
And that does change a lot, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe he blames her for the death of his brother.
It could be. I mean, I don't know. Like, we don't even know what their connection was. Or, like, if he even cares. Like,
yeah.
Or if he just wants to. Does he want to kill Kuga for revenge? Or does he want to kill Kuga just to prove that he's a badass?
Yeah.
It works either way. Yeah. I like the revenge idea.
Yeah, because it's the same actor who played the other one.
Yeah.
So, and like it's the same, almost the same suit. They changed it a little bit, I think, to show that he's a different one. But
so after he leaves, you see it's like on Rose because she just had a death threat. But you hear some really, really heavy, ominous breathing, and it kind of pans off into the darkness, and then the scene ends. So I'm thinking maybe that's the guy.
Who knows?
I don't know. All I know is that the breathing was really weird, and it pans off into darkness. So I'm assuming that's head honcho.
So can't then say. Then it moves on to another barricade.
Yeah, 247 is a barricade. They're all just kind of waiting.
I guess now they have the better bullets.
Yeah, I think the ammo. I think the ammo.
They
arrived.
Say something about the ammo arriving.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. But when
he,
it happens.
He, but he like directs them all as like ABC team. You know, we're gonna be here if they don't. If he doesn't come this way, we'll run to Sugita's team.
Yeah, because
we got the bullets and all that stuff.
Because this barricade's the intention of this barricade is to make him go to a specific location, not necessarily this one.
Yeah,
the whole point of all these barricades is so they can figure out where he is and how to guide him into a certain location.
Because
they want him near, like, to reminder from last episode, they want him in a secluded space so that way ULF-4 can kick without killing everybody.
Because they know that it's a big explosion, they also want to drive it off to, a non-populated zone.
Yeah. So, nine minutes later.
This is the conversation of Godai and Sugita.
Yeah.
Where he tells him, he's like, yeah, I'm doing okay. I changed back into red before I stopped, so I think I'll be able to change again.
Yeah.
And then this is when Sugita's just like, my daughter was right about you.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, what? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, she says that she knows that you're a good guy because you saved me from ULF-5.
Yeah.
And then he apologizes for having ever held a gun
against him because he didn't know the whole situation there. And he's like, it's cool, you know, I'm just doing my job like you guys are. Mm-hmm. And he's
just cool guy.
It's funny because it's like he, Godai, thinks he's working just as hard as they are.
Yeah.
Even though he's doing all the actual hard work, but he's also got the superpowers. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't belittle their contribution to it because they're not the ones kicking them until they explode.
Right.
He's just like, I couldn't do all of this without you guys, pretty much, right?
Exactly.
So it's like, team player, Godai. You know? If anything, he would probably say, it'd be like, you know, anybody could do the kicking.
Right.
If they had the belt. It's these guys. They're the important ones.
I can see that, too. Yeah, that's a Godai thing to say.
Yeah.
So they hear over the radio that they spotted Bada.
Yeah.
And then Ichijo's talking about how they're going to rendezvous. Like, he's got what he needs. We're going to meet up. I'm sure they specify a location, but I didn't catch it.
Yeah, they're point B.
So it's 3:09. You see all the guys, like all the cops, they're waiting, very tensely staring off into, you know, down the road. He shows up. They call for the aim. The guy, you know, Bada transforms because I think he's planning to ram the barricade.
Yeah.
So they unleash a hail of fire, and it's basically nothing's affecting. Like, they're all, like, bouncing off of them, but then when there's, like, one good shot, or this is the one shot from Sakurai that has the ammo.
Yeah, like, he's been taking it, and then, like, I guess just too much smoke. I think it might be just too much smoke starts coming out.
I think it's because, like, one of them clips, like, the front of his bike, and so the smoke, like, goes right in his face, whereas otherwise it was kind of rolling off of him.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
But
it's
whatever.
It's like that or a buildup, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they're playing Monster Hunter and he finally got the saddest to proc. And
yeah. He just managed to like, he hit the threshold. The threshold, yeah.
But either way, it makes him kind of veer off in a way.
Yeah.
He can't take it. He can't hack it. He goes down the side street that he had planned.
That they had planned on, yeah. And then it goes to Godai and them and they're going. And Godai's all of a sudden, he says, stop.
Well, yeah, Sugita's saying he's passing the checkpoint soon. And
yeah.
And then Godai just yells out, stop. So Sugita slams the brakes, and then he's just like, you know.
He's like, what? They go out, and then epic entrance.
Yeah, you can hear off in the distance what Godai heard was the revving engine.
I believe you probably heard.
The spirit.
Ichijo's. The music.
Energy.
Yeah. It's just like.
Oh, because some rock starts playing.
Can you imagine if that was like your power? You like you hear
the theme music,
you hear the background music that would be happening if this is a show.
Honestly, I want to see a superhero whose power is the theme
gonna
music.
I'm going to win. No, it's like nobody else can hear it, but just you can hear it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's just you hear theme music in the scene. Yeah. So like you'll be sitting there and you're trying to chat up a girl and then some comedy music starts out. You're like, I'm out.
It's
too late.
Yeah.
Or like super sad music starts playing. Who's dying? What's going on here?
Yeah.
What's this sad scene? I don't get it.
It's like you're just at a meal and your battery take a drink and then intense music starts. Who poisoned my drink?
Yeah. What's going on here? Yeah. Exactly. It's like plenty of uses, but he has to extrapolate from incomplete information. Would be a great superhero.
So it's Ichijo coming in on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
And he's still in his suit, and he's just driving it on the motorcycle. It's the new motorcycle.
Yeah, and it looks like it would be from like a superhero bike. It definitely doesn't look like anything cops would make for cops.
No, but like, it also does look like an improved version of the previous bike.
It does. It looks a little bulkier, but also still slim and fast, like a dirt
bike.
So
he pulls off, and I don't know if you noticed, but they cut before he fully takes off his helmet, so his hair is perfect when they cut back to him.
Yeah.
It's a common cut thing. Happens all the time in Double too. They always cut whenever he pulls off his helmet so that his hair is perfect when they look at him.
Right. Otherwise, it just look like regular people hair and it's all frazzled.
Yeah, everywhere, all over the place. Folded over on itself. Because they have longer hair, so it's like.
So he gets off. He puts the helmet down and he enters in a code. I don't know if it's 0114 or 0115 or whatever it is, but
yeah,
he enters in. I'm assuming Godai's birthday because that's what Inokita said, but then it could also be something else and she was just fibbing.
So I was thinking about it and there might be something to this because in Japan they use the year first.
Okay.
So it would be 2000 and like it would be like the year 2000 and like January 5th. And I was looking and Kamen Rider Kuga aired on January like 30th of 2000. So it might be that that was when the show was announced maybe, or like that was the initial thing or something like that. Because yeah, in Japan they use the year first. So that's why it's 00.
I thought it was 011. I didn't see 001, but either way, I'm not really that invested in.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's why I think it is. It was like the birth of Kuga.
Yeah.
Not of
could be
Godai. Could be.
Yeah. I feel like it has something like it's got to be an Easter egg, but I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was, I think it was 0015. And so that might have been like when Kuga happened.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, that. It's best to, unless we would have to go and actually research it at this point if we wanted to figure it out. But
yeah, no,
breaks code, man.
Yeah.
So he presses in the code, and I guess they're up on some tech.
Yeah, it's a magic bike.
It's a magic bike, I guess. Yeah.
She's been studying Goram.
True. Yeah. Fully transforms the colors into Kuga colors.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not Kuga doing it. It's the bike doing it.
Yeah.
Like when Kuga does it, it's like, yeah, that's what he does. But
I'm just asking myself, do you ever think Godai just, he's not really in on the, it's not his favorite colors. It's just the ones he's stuck with. And yeah, so he's looking at this bike like, come on, man.
Red again?
Jeez. You don't have to be matching head to toe.
It's just like, I'm a real big indigo guy. And like, nothing's indigo.
Jesus.
It's like, you know, they've had that joke a couple of times in Power Rangers where, like, the tomboy is the Pink Ranger.
Yeah.
And she's like, seriously? Pink?
So, yeah, he just walks up. He's like, hey, look, good luck, buddy. So, you know, he gets on the bike, henshins, thumbs up.
This is Sugita's first time seeing him henshin.
True.
And he actually looks at it. He's like, what?
Like, yeah, that'd be pretty crazy. Think about it.
Yeah. Seeing someone train, like, you know it in your head, but then you see it.
So Godai, you know, he's riding down. I think
he instantly finds him.
Yeah, he's like, my final kill. So he starts doing a series of failed wheelie attacks because, as we all know, if you get wheeled on, it's over.
Yes. So
with the weight and strength of his wheelie,
there's like three wheelies that he just turns to the side.
Yeah, it's kind of lazily. And then I think at one point he tries to do a wheelie with his back.
So it's like it feels like. But, like, if you were on those motorcycles, you'd be like, this is the most intense thing that's ever happening in my life right now.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. Even if you know it's a stunt, you're just like, this is crazy.
Yeah. And plus, the idea here is the rules say he's got to knock him off the bike and then kill him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's kind of got it out for him. That's kind of a ridiculous.
But it's just like, yeah, it's like, I mean, even when you're, like, on, like, an ATV or something like that, and you're like, I'm going so fast, it's like 15 miles an hour or something like that. But it's just like, because it's like, there's no protection like there is in a car.
Oh, yeah. And they're supposed to be going like way faster.
They're supposed to be going like 100, 150, 200 miles an hour or something like that. So,
but so Kuga revs up his engine, the force of it, the throttle, kind of like muscle cars, it like lifts up the front wheels and he just takes off. And I mean, he leaves him in the dust. Like,
yes.
Bada's like, what? And he goes full throttle and it's like, he might as well have a stalled engine or something.
I think we had it like Bada was going like 250.
Yeah, it was something crazy.
It was like it was like 400 kilometers an hour, which comes to be like 200.
Yeah, something like that.
It's about 250 miles an hour. And so Godai's just leaving him in the dust.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, and then the 250 miles an hour was an average.
Yeah, average, which means he can go faster and sometimes slower.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's riding off. Bada's like way gone, and he hits the brakes. And since he's going so fast, I guess that the thing has it built in. It opens up a thing and releases a parachute to slow him down like a jet would.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, or a boat or something like that. Yes, something. He needs air brakes. Yeah. Like an actual like emergency air brake. And so he like it works and he skids to the side and he gets off the bike.
Yeah, he dismounts and he's staring off down the road, kind of like how the cops were. He's waiting in anticipation. Yeah. And you can see the lightning start to crackle across his chest because you know it's charging up.
Yeah.
Bada comes in a distance and he's riding down the road.
He goes gold and he's just like starts doing the run.
Yeah, starts running towards him. Every time his right foot hits the ground, some fire like comes off of it.
Yep.
Does a spin, kicks him right off in the chest.
Pretty hard looking too.
Yeah.
And this guy's just down and he's just start, and then like he gets up.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, is that not going to be enough? But then it's like the symbol shows and he cracks and he blows up. And luckily they're out in the woods this time.
Oh, yeah. Big, like almost. I mean, you can see like the leaves coming up off the trees and the ground. Like,
because, yeah, they were definitely like out in like an abandoned road somewhere or an abandoned airline or something.
It's like a mountain pass.
Yeah.
In between a beach stretch or something. Who knows?
But this is why they were moving out here. So
yeah, because even the road that they're driving on had a bunch of cracks and, you know, grass growing in and stuff.
Like I'm saying, it's like either an abandoned road, it kind of, or could have been like in an abandoned airport, you know, type thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
but he did.
Yep.
So it's 6:29. It's at the headquarters. Ichijo
6:29 p.m.
Up. Yeah, p.m.
It's like the sun is setting and it's like, okay, well, you know, almost 100 people died today. But they were all dirty motorcyclists.
Yeah, save it. Helping, you know.
And so it's the chief there.
With pollution.
And then
Ichijo walks in.
Ichigo comes in and he's just like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he bows,
apologizes. I had to do this. And he's just like, it's like, that's cool because by the time you took it, I had already convinced them to side with you.
Yeah,
and
sorry. It's like, what? It's like, they did what? It's like, yeah, they're already all on board. Like, he convinced like, them that we need.
You just had perfect timing because by the time you broke the rules have been changed. Yep.
He now this scene's got some impact. He says Godai's name, his full name. So he's not calling him UL-F4. He's officially calling him Yusuke Godai Yusuke. So
in my mind, I'm like, he knew all the time.
Yeah,
he knew the whole time, and he pretended he didn't know because he wanted to keep plausible deniability.
Oh yeah, I mean, with how many times he says it over the
Godai
radio?
Godai Yusuke over the intercom.
It's like, okay. There's no friggin' secret. So he says his name and says that it's, you know, basically it's your duty to keep him safe. Do everything you can to keep him safe.
Yeah. Now we're full on, you know. So that's why it's called cooperation.
Yeah. Yeah. So it ends on that.
So what's your suck?
So my suck is, here's the thing. I like the episode. So I have very little to complain about. My one nitpick is the bike color swap for a few reasons. One, okay, and this is like the least grating part of it is... No, there is no tech for that in 2000s. You know there's not. They know there's not. There's no reason that you would even have this function on a police bike.
So it's really funny.
Like with all this time that they've been waiting and they've been making this, what's bugging me about this is that this is something that held up the production of this. if it was Inokita or even if it was one of the lesser guys that just like, man, let's make this cherry, you know, hot rod cherry or whatever. I don't care. They're like, this feature, when we put in this code to activate the bike, it needs to switch to Kuga colors. And now figure it out. And they put some heads down.
What's really funny is, I don't know, did you ever see the show Viper?
No.
So it was a show in the 90s. And it was like Knight Rider without the intelligent part of the car.
Okay.
It was just like a supercar.
Okay, gotcha.
But it was a Dodge Viper. And like, but it would like, they press some buttons and it would turn into a Super Viper.
Oh, okay, okay.
And like, in my mind, it seems like a fluid animation thing. If I watched it now, I'd probably see this is like done with like...
total crap.
Yeah, done with like Photoshop or something like that.
Might as well be a claymation.
Yeah. And like, but the thing is like that came out in like the 90s and like that's exactly the tech, like the changing of it. And like at times they would change the color of the Viper. Uh-huh. So it'd be a blue Viper. So people were looking for a red Viper. They see a blue Viper like, oh, it must be a different car.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I know it's a toy. Like that's the first thing is looking at it. It is absolutely a toy.
Yeah.
And that's not something that bothers me. So like at first I was like, it's just a toy. It doesn't matter that the tech's not possible. It was kind of funny at first, but then the more I thought about it, that's when I came to the conclusion. It's like, oh yeah, they specifically designed this and this was like a rush job, as in this was like, we need to make this happen. And they thought to change the colors of the bike. Whereas like with the Tri Chaser, there's a clear difference between the one that Godai rides and the ones that cops ride. Cause the cops got the one that this is the one that we're releasing to the cops, right? So that's why it had the bells and whistles, like the...
Yeah.
It looked like a cop bike, whereas Godai's just looks like a bike.
Yeah.
So this should have been the same thing. as far as it being like, well, this is this has all the functionality. Don't worry about the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't need to have a honk honk
yeah.
button. Like, you know. But no, it changes to the full, like, trim, yep. everything. And I'm just thinking, you had to invent this tech.
yeah.
You had to think about how to make it work and on command. Come on.
Yeah.
You have bigger issues. Like, you're having trouble getting ammo out. Like, Ichijo had to ask you to speed that up and give us the ammo you have. Just give it what you got.
Yeah.
And it's because somebody, at least one egghead, is worried about the color of the bike. I don't like it. So other than that, I like the episode. So what's your suck? I'm just curious.
So my suck is like, I know I kind of complained about it last time, but my suck... Oh, we forgot to mention at the very end of the scene is him coming back to the Pole Pole.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and working like...
they're still in a lunch... They're in a like, dinner rush, I guess. They just been rushed all day, and like he's coming into it. It's like, in all this time, you never saw any of their reactions. There's tons of people dying on motorcycles all the time, and it would be easy to go back there and just have them like on the radio or something like that, or on the TV.
Yeah.
Because like last time they had them just doing their job, right? They were just thing. And this one is like the end. And it's like,
Have that part in the middle if they're not going to follow through in the end?
Yeah. They should have like just them worrying and like one of them worrying and then the other one being like,
it's fine. It's Godai.
It's Godai. He's fine, you know, and stuff like that. Or, but it's like...
Yeah, because, I mean, even then, it's not something we'd seen before. I feel like there was no right way to end that. So why that just, you know, kind of tacks on what you were saying. Like, why even have it last episode?
Yeah, why have it last episode? Him coming back and, like, working with them, that's fine at the end. That's
yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it's like their reactions to it. Because, like, we built up these characters because it's like they live in this world and it's all this thing.
Yeah.
And it's like 100 people are being killed. Like, all the time, people on motorcycles, and you could have a whole thing of, like, Nana being like, oh, Godai's all right, because he rides a motorcycle.
Yeah.
You know? And they'll be like, oh, I'm sure Godai's fine, you know? He knows to get off the road, you know? He's saying that, like, without saying that he's ULF4, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because, I mean, the one that would know, like, they don't know, do they? It's just his sister and...
Yeah, his sister and, Sakurako.
Yeah, so they know. So that means if Nana and Chief are worried, then
they would be worried about just Godai being a motorcycle rider.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so that would have been an interesting way to do
it. Yeah. And I'm sure there could have been, like, we could have cut the bike fight short for these.
Yeah, definitely. Could have cut out at least one Willy.
Yeah.
So. You know, or at least last episode, same thing.
Yeah.
They could have moved it around a little better.
So what is your Sugoi?
So I have two. I feel like one might be yours, so I'll say the one that I like and then I'll let you go because I feel like it's going to be the one that we both like. But I just love the fact that he got to 98. Like officially got to 98. It's not speculated because a lot of the time we get to doing the math and be like, yeah, if they didn't run into Kuga, this would have easily been done. And we've been saying it the last two episodes. There's no way he can't get this with how much damage he did on the last episode.
Yeah.
But to actually officially get to 98, recognized by everybody, including the human beings that are being murdered and the other Grungi.
Yeah.
And the only reason he's not making it to the finals is because he wants to kill Kuga as his 99th.
So,
because he could have killed any other cop.
But you can also see that the other Grungi, they were dismissive of him the last episode, but this episode, like, he could actually do this.
Yeah, they all kept their mouth shut this time.
Yeah.
Exactly. There was one Grungi that was in awe, and the other was, there was, like, at least two of them that were like, who cares? He's not gonna, whatever.
But then this one, they were just all like, he could do this.
With time to spare.
Yeah.
With time to spare. Like, he had a whole hour and a half where he was just driving around waiting for a Kuga.
Yeah.
He could have easily killed somebody by then. Yeah. So I just love that they, this enemy got this three episodes, and they didn't just waste our time.
So there's like two things that are similar, but what I liked was the chief.
Mm.
It's like the chief about, it's the chief and Ichijo convincing the other guys.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what I thought.
Yeah.
We agree here because like police seeing reason.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
You're like, what?
Yeah.
It's just like someone slapping me in the face. It's so weird.
Yeah. It's really nice seeing that they're willing to cooperate. They're good guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's like nobody wants 98 people to be dead right now.
Yeah.
They're doing what they can. It's like any opportunity, like honestly, it's one of those things where he was told to do this, but then he's confronted by Ichijo. Who knows exactly how long the conversation went on. It could have been 2 seconds, could have been an hour. It doesn't matter. Well, I mean, I can look at the math.
It was a couple of minutes. Yeah.
At least. He made the right decision.
Yeah.
And he did it in a way that it's like, He knows he could maybe lose his job,
but
sure.
But this is more important than that. You know? Yeah. And then the chief being like, hey, so we're all in agreement, but you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
you should all agree the other way.
Yeah, I did what you guys told me to, but this is the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like he knew the Godai the whole time, and he's just like, now we can back him up for real.
Yeah. And it's so refreshing. I mean, we've not to be beaten on a dead horse here, but there's only two types of cops in television. It's either A, cop bad, and I mean really bad. Like they're the worst version of human beings, but also cops. And then the alternative is that I don't know if you've seen any of those. There's only like maybe one a year, and it's always from like the same two, three directors, but they're always like Brooklyn Cop or a Jersey Cop, The Boys in Blue, and
yeah,
you know, the struggles that they're having with their family. But you can tell they're just hardworking men.
Yeah.
Doing their hardworking men stuff.
So the thing is like most cops are either bad in media. Most cops are bad or damaged.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
It's just like,
because I don't think we even have any super cop movies anymore. Like Lethal Weapons, stuff like that. It's always at this point now, it's like an ex-Marine that's
going off on his own.
Special agent or something like that. Yeah.
So, that's it. So, now, right ranking. Right now, Kuga is above Nego. That's pretty solid. But below Vulcan.
Yeah, that's rough. I really liked him this episode. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
It's hard. You probably won't get, but I think he should be above Vulcan. And the reason why I think he's above Vulcan is because all the good Vulcan stuff in the last episode was actually Naki.
Here's the thing. I can agree with Kuga going over. The reasons are different. I don't really think there was any good things. So that's where we differ. I understand kind of what you're saying. I don't think Vulcan did very much last episode.
Yeah, anything that was done, whether you thought it was good or bad, it wasn't Vulcan actually doing it.
Well, if anything, his entire, that's what I'm saying, one of the reasons why it kind of grown, you know, I didn't like it is it kind of retracted what was good about Vulcan in the recent episodes. It was taken away from him, and he's still just a puppet. It was just that he needed, he muscles his way through it the first time, but now he can't because they've targeted him with another virus. It's like, well, that's what that was before. It was already something that was perfectly designed to control his brain on a moment's notice. I don't see what's changed about that. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not over it,
yeah,
but I'm settled on it, yeah. You know? So I get it. I do agree. It's just, you know, Godai's such a good guy.
Yeah.
He's such a good guy. If you can't give somebody props for that, man, and then also the plan working out, like I loved also the bit where you can see that, yeah, obviously he could go and try to snipe him. He did think of that. He just didn't think it would work, and he was right.
And like the risk of like him not being able to transform for 2 hours is like hundreds of people dying.
Yeah,
because he doesn't know there's a limit of 99.
Yeah, he doesn't know what they could have been 3,000. It could have been, you know.
Yeah,
he doesn't know what the rules are. He just knows they're playing a game.
Yeah,
which makes it worse. And he doesn't know that he's the final kill either. Yeah, he doesn't know that the other guy's personally invested in for whatever reasons. The right choice. Even if I didn't think it was, once he laid out the like he reminded me there's a time limit after he uses green, and yeah, he might not be able to. If he lands a shot, great, but there's a big chance he won't, and then he's going to zoom off because you're in a much slower vehicle now, slower than you were before.
Yeah.
So props for thinking that out.
Yeah.
It's like strategy was on point. He was very.
He acknowledged the cops,
their hard work and understood. It's like, hey, I've had no. Like, he has not been holding a grudge at all for them shooting at him.
Because he's like, yeah, I mean,
I would have. Especially in the moment, because that's the reason that she got away. They started firing on him. Remember with the cheetah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were just having a perfectly good fight, and they just got swarmed on. And they were aiming at him, mostly.
Yeah. Yeah, but
in their defense, he is the brightly colored one.
Yeah. And it was at night, yeah.
Yeah.
What about 01? It's hard because 01 is like fighting for a whole race at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
that isn't
really
even his race.
Yeah. I mean, he drops the ball sometimes. Otherwise, his heart's in the right place. I mean, I feel like as a human being, I really don't want human gear to rise up. But, you know, I can see it. Like, they definitely are at this point now. Especially when they have the ability to reach singularity and have their own hopes and dreams.
They're pretty
like,
much just second people.
They're second people.
Yeah.
So we can't just allow a caste system to be.
And people could be like, but we make them. And I'm like, we make normal. We make first people.
Yeah. It's like, it's like, does that mean I own my child? No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I'm responsible for them for a certain certain amount of years. Technically, I'm responsible to them for the forever, but
yeah,
it's only so long I'm going to take responsibility for their stupidity. They can go off and be stupid on their own. But in the short period of time where you have to make the right decisions, so that's when you know, you don't own them, but you sure as hell, you know.
Yeah. So it's like they're like second people now.
Yeah.
You know, especially because it's like all this thing. And then it's like now they're an oppressed second people now being hunted down and killed.
It's 100%. It's either you have two choices. Don't own a Huma Gear at all because you're not really going to be owning them. You're just going to be, you know, with them. That's the thing. You got to adopt that mentality, or you're agreeing to house something that will eventually develop the ability to make its own decisions, not just do what you say. You know, so if you're not comfortable with that, then don't take on the responsibility. It's that easy.
Yeah,
it's really that easy. If you're not willing to put in the hard work and deal with the consequences, then just put on a Zaya spec and shut up.
I mean, yeah. I mean, and it's like very rewarding. It's a lot like a child. It's like very rewarding if you like you put in the right effort and things work out well. Yeah. And it's like
because it, like we have the mangaka with his lifelong friend. And what he's really excited to see the stuff that he can, the content that he can create.
Yeah,
and maybe they'll collab. Who knows? Yeah.
So
he didn't even know that's what he wanted.
Yeah. So, but that's not our the next episode of Kuga is called Tremble. And it's so that's another thing we have to think about. The fact is, like, if Bada Bada's dead, they're in the finals now.
Yep, he was the last candidate.
He was the last semifinalist. So it's like, what is the finals going to be? You know,
whoever kills Kuga wins.
Yeah, whoever kills the most other Grungy.
Yeah.
it's like the whole thing of like it sometimes like rules make no sense when you think about them. Like the rules of Sith.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like there's always one. There's a master and apprentice, and the apprentice kills the master.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you're only two ever?
Yeah. Well, the problem with that is like, I guess the books covered that. Like there was so many books covering all that and why it became the rule is because like one Sith Lord wanted power, basically.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. It's stupid when you think about it. And honestly, that's most of Star Wars.
Yeah,
it's really one of those stories that you're here for the swords that are made of some sort of laser. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's all. I mean, like we said, like
you want to watch space magic knights fighting. That's what you're here for.
And like that, if you think of it as magic, it makes more sense.
Yeah,
because it makes less sense. Yeah,
just be happy that there aren't a million Jedi and just go about your day.
Yeah,
because otherwise you're gonna be beating your head off the wall and like nothing's gonna add up. None of the tech's gonna transfer over.
Yes, but our next episode.
Of Riding Through the Ages.
Is Riding Through the Ages. Will be in Kamen Rider Double. He's got his final form. How's that work? It's going to be Wise Tragedy, the woman looking for yesterday.
So there's one of the Whys.
Yep.
Time travel?
There's always some sort of time travel, right?
Gotta be.
So that will be our next episode. I've been Aaron.
I'm Eugene.
And we will see you next time.